We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are positively into the crab cake season. 85 degrees and sunny and beating up on the Yankees. Smells like crab cakes in the air. We'll be down at Fadley's. I'm actually going to Fadley's before the game on Thursday. I just made that executive decision. My friend from Curio Wellness gave me some tickets. I'm like, yeah, I'm going to go see the Yankees play. But we're going to be down there on business, not pleasure, next Friday. It's always pleasure is part of my business. We're going to be at Fadley's at the new Lexington Market eating delicious crab cakes as well as shrimp salad. And I'm going to work some fish. Damie always working me fish, maybe some oysters, some fried oysters. I'm thinking about all this. All of it will be brought to you by the Maryland Lottery. Your friends, bring us the Pac-Man scratch-offs. We had a bunch of winners last week. We had a bunch of winners at Greenmount Station as well. Last week, we did a big horse racing show there. It's Derby week around here this week. Our friends at Liberty Pure Solutions, keeping our water clean and safe and out on the road, and Jiffy Lube Multicare putting us on the road each and every Friday. The Orioles are home. We're at Fadley's. I'm putting together the rest of the schedule. I have not quit on new places, old places. I'm getting it all together because I've been efforting on this 25th anniversary documentary. You know why? Because there are people, a few people from the Pittsburgh area who immigrate, I don't know. I'm trying to think of something really insulting you would say for leaving Pittsburgh and coming to Baltimore. Seth Elkin is one of those guys. He is the executive director of the communication side of, I don't know his official title. He's here to talk about the Maryland Lottery and talk baseball and home run riches. But, dude, the reason I put this movie together is there's guys like you that come into my life a little later on. I mean, I don't know when you first heard of me or became acquainted through the lottery or through being a huge sports fan, and you are. I know that because I've stood on the terrible towel that you have on the floor in your office. So I know what a big fan you are. But I made this movie, and I hope people like you have enjoyed it. You've told me you've watched it, and I'm like, we're going to talk about this on the air. So I got to get the full drama out. How are things at the Maryland Lottery? Is Martin gone again trying to figure out how to pay all of these home run riches winners? I'm convinced of that that's why he takes these weeks off after these grand slams.
I'll tell you what, it's awfully cool that we have a contest that pays people when the Orioles hit home runs, bearing in mind that they are, through the first month of the season, leading the major leagues in home runs. How cool is that?
It's costing a state of fortune. It's costing a lottery every time one of these goes out, you know.
As you and I are speaking, $42,000 worth of prizes that we've paid through 45 home runs so far. But
that's 20,000 more than you probably did 4 years ago, right? Same time, right? Literally.
Right? They've come a long way since then, to say the least. Gunnar Henderson was AL Rookie of the Year last year. He looks like he's going to win AL MVP this year, given his performance so far. So
listen, man, I've always been trying to bring you over to the Orioles side. I mean, 79 was a long time ago. You can give it up if you want. You live here. You represent the Maryland Lottery, for crying out loud. Had sponsors and partners with all of this. I mean, there's room on the bandwagon. We had empty seats every month. You know what I mean? Like, there is still room for you to get like a cow outfit and come on down and be a part of the Chowser clan. You know what I mean? Like, whatever you want to do, there's room on the bandwagon. The Orioles can be your American League team. The internet
are.
Doesn't travel to Pennsylvania. I won't tell anybody up there that you become an Oriole fan.
Very, very secret. They kind of are my American League team. Let's just put it
that
way.
You warm my heart. You warm my heart with all that. So what did you learn from the documentary? Because you're like a perfect case example. How do you know of me? Is it because of our lottery thing, or did you hear about me around town? You've lived here a long time.
A little bit of both, but I'll tell you the thing that really jumped out at me that I identify with, and we've talked about this before, is that we have similar roots in our professional lives, that we both started out as newspaper guys, as sports reporters. I'm looking at all of these photos and clippings and headlines that flash by on the screen, and I'm reminded certainly of the time that I spent as a sports reporter as well. I identify because I traveled that same road. I didn't travel it as successfully as you did.
Where did you work? There were some Alain Lemieux references there and some Penguins, because my first Skipjacks teams in 84, 85, 86, that was Gene Ubriaco, that were. they were all the guys that went up and played for Gene and Barry and those guys a little later on in Pittsburgh that sort of predated the first, you know, Coffey and Lemieux and Cups and all of that. But the early Lemieux teams were Bob Airy, Tim Tukey, Roberto Romano, Warren Young. I mean, a lot of those players were the guys I covered early on, including – who's that?
No, I was – go ahead. Including who? Who were you going to say?
I'm trying to think of – well, Steve Carlson, who was in the movie Slapshot. Steve Carlson was a skipjack. Bob Airy. I'm trying to think. Greg Tebbit. But I'm trying to think of the guys that made it and played well. Oh, Bork's brother, Phil Bork.
I remember Airy and Bork, of course, were still on the team in the early 90s when they won the back-to-back cups. But some of those guys, Wendell Young and the guys you're naming, Roberto Romano, I remember from those mid-80s and late-80s teams when we didn't know exactly whether the Penguins were ever going to turn the corner. We knew we had Mario Lemieux, and we had Paul Coffey starting in 1987, but didn't know if we were ever going to manage to turn to round the bend with that team.
And then Mario winds up owning the team, and the Penguins.
Took 7 years into his career before they finally built a championship team. So,
the first time I interviewed Mario was on the phone. He called and talked to me about Elaine. I was doing a story on Elaine. I had to call up to the Penguins PR and get Mario on the phone, because Mario never played a game as a skipjack.
Right.
He never dressed.
His brother played here, right?
His brother played. Elaine was always trying to make it, and Elaine was a nice guy. Elaine's English was a lot better than Mario's. Mm-hmm. And when I talked to Mario on the phone that first time, his English was very much like, you know, he was, and his English is it's amazing. I don't think I could ever go to Quebec and fake my fake French, you know, and ever pick it up. So I was always, and especially the European players like Michael Pavanka and a couple of guys from the Caps came over not being able to speak a word of English, and then their English is perfect. So, you know, in those days, hockey, it was such a minor league sport here, and I took it so seriously in the Capitals and all of that, but I'm glad you identified. So what did you cover and for whom?
I covered mostly community sports, high school sports in a number of places in Western Pennsylvania, in Morgantown, West Virginia. And then, of course, for 12 years with the Gazette newspapers, may they rest in peace, that published in the suburbs outside of Washington, D.C. The Gazette published in Prince George's County, which is where I worked, and then Montgomery County and Frederick County for a while as well. So
several of my friends, George Van Daneker and Lou Cortina, a bunch of guys came through there, and I worked with them at Sports First, the News American, and the Sun. Yep. The Gazette papers were, definitely a feeding ground for all of the people who became journalists. And as John Eisenberg would say, the glory era of sports writing in America.
That's the thing that really I reflect on is how much the media landscape has changed. And you kind of see the reflection of that as you watch your documentary. So yeah, it took me back. Definitely.
Well, I'll tell you what takes me back are all these big flies and home runs. And I sit here each and every morning with Luke after they hit home runs and they win games and they beat up on the Yankees. And even the other nasty nester, the second nasty nester, not the original. He probably doesn't even know that, but I should get him a Get Nasty shirt. We talk about this baseball team hitting home runs and what they do and how fun it is, but this really is a generational thing. And you're such a baseball head. Seth Elkin is here from the Maryland Lottery. We love talking baseball. We'll talk lottery. We're going to talk about new games next week and all that, but your Clemente Stargell and your baseball background and all that, I really do, as I get into May here, we're second month into this. It's only the second May that Henderson's even been like a guy. Kowser's arrived now. Westberg looks like J.J. Hardy or Rich Dower. I don't know what to compare him to. And then there's this whole pipeline of Jackson Holliday is going to make it and all this. This is an unbelievable generation talent, especially for home runs, for home run riches and grand slams and all that. But it's just a pleasure every day to have baseball sort of be the heartbeat of what's going on around here again. And if I can plug my 25th anniversary documentary in that way, it's this whole thing started where that's what this was back in 1992, 1993, 1994, 1995, 1996 was Cal Ripken, Brady Anderson, Mike Messina. And it was the daily heartbeat of baseball. And I love that. And the lottery's always been a part of that as well. And every night I'm watching the games, and when the bases get loaded, I know what's up. And it's made it a much more fun promotion, I think, for the lottery.
Yeah, it is a lot of fun for us. I mean, as we talk about, a lot of people look forward to Home Run Riches every year, just because the baseball season is so much fun, and having the team be relevant again really adds a lot to it, and it's exciting for us. And we're looking at a team that's leading the major leagues in home runs, and hopefully that continues, and we give away a lot more money here as the season goes along.
Well, we'll move the fences in for the Yankees so they can hit more home runs, even though they don't pay anybody for all that. All right, we got new games. John told me some things last week, freshen the audience up on anything that's going on, because it's spring, and aside from going out to festivals and M3s this weekend, and we're getting outside, it's 85 degrees and perfect baseball weather and all that. You guys have a whole bunch of things to roll out here, and last year was 50th anniversary, everything, but you guys are working hard over at the lottery.
Yeah, you know, I was thinking about that. We had so much going on last year because of the 50th anniversary, but this year the theme for us, I think, is things that are new, things that are a little bit novel, because there are two games, one of which has already launched. I know you and John Martin talked about last week, called The Big Spin. It's a new scratch-off game that launched April 22nd. And then we also have a new draw game that's going to launch May the 6th. These are two brand new things that are innovative, that are a lot different really than what we typically have. So with Big Spin, it is a scratch-off game where certainly you can win instant cash prizes, but you're looking for that spin symbol on the ticket. If you scratch off the ticket, you see that spin symbol, scan your ticket and find out what you've won. You probably will end up with a cash prize on that spin symbol, somewhere between $10 and $250. When you scan your ticket and you see that cash prize, that is the prize that you won on your ticket, unless you have one of the 8 lucky tickets that wins a big spin. If you have one of those 8 and you scan that ticket, you're, instead of a cash prize amount, you're not going to see a dollar amount. You're going to see a message that says you've won a big spin. You need to contact the lottery office to schedule an appointment, and you're going to come in and spin the big prize wheel. It's a 6-foot tall game show style prize.
I'm coming down and seeing this. I want to see the wheel. I want to take a picture with the wheel. Tell Roz I got enough for next week, but after that, I'm going to need some freshening up with my scratch offs, because I've been giving them away left and right. But I want to, like, is this a Bob Barker? I mean, I'm picturing the thing with the, you know, my little mother, you know, grabbing the wheel on two things and giving it a nice hurl, and has to go around one time. We all know that it has to have one rotation. Does it go?
It does. It does all of that. It does.
Does it have like a little gold or silver around the big? I just keep thinking Bob Barker, and I know Drew Carey's hosted the show forever, but I think Bob Barker.
It looks a lot like that. It's not quite the same. It's not branded quite the same way, but it does look and sound a lot like that. It's going to be a lot of fun. Well, we haven't had that first one yet. There are 8 of those somewhere randomly out there waiting to be won. And when somebody brings one of those here, they will get a chance to spin, and it's going to be a lot of fun for us. It's going to be exciting. It's something we've never done a ticket like this before. So we've had to get creative in the way that we figure out how to explain it to people. And then, of course,
I'm going to get rid of you communication people, and I'm going to get to the nerds that create these games, because I'm like that too with all of my people. I'm like, now who picks the menu and who picks the ingredients, and, you know, how do we name the item, and how do we do that? Like, I love that. Put the cook in the kitchen on all that, because this is how the fun happens, right? You're trying to create games and engage people that are fun. Like, everybody knows Pac-Man's fun and it's branding and like all that. That's simple. That's easy. But like, who comes in to John Martin and the cast of thousands there at Maryland Lottery and says, I got this game. It's a little bit like The Price is Right, but it's not. And we're going to have a wheel spin, and they're going to have to scan it. So they're going to have to use the app, which is going to make, we're going to introduce that, because we need to do all that. And then, like, next thing you know, like, people are showing up, and it literally becomes like a game show. And it's going to be like, it's going to be fun for your office, I think.
Yeah, it's the art and science of product development, and we got a product development team that works very hard.
P&D, is that what we call them?
PD, there you go.
P&D, R&D, research, I don't know. I mean, I'm just trying to use the inside terminology. That's
product development. Kate Airy is our product development director, and she and her team are in charge of planning what we're going to do and how we're going to execute it. And they get some help from people in the industry. There are certainly the game manufacturers, the companies that we work with.
I want her back on the show. Let's go. It's time. It's time now. It's time to get creative around here. It's springtime, right?
Well, creativity is kind of the theme. game, because like we say, you know, Big Spin is something a little bit different. And then coming up on May 6th, we've got a brand new draw game launching, which is kind of exciting because it's not every day that we launch a new draw game. We're going to have a new daily draw game, permanent daily draw game that's going to be added on May the 6th. And
this is like 3 and 4. It's just going to be different though. 3-digit original games. Every day it's going to play.
Okay. Well, here's how it works. It's called Cash Pop, and every day there will be 4 drawings of Cash Pop where we select one winning pop. It's a number. We call it a pop for this game. One winning pop from a range of 1 to 15. So there are only 15 possible outcomes in every drawing. So it's just a matter of choosing that right number. And you win. So you can play as many numbers from that range of 1 to 15 as you want. So you can pick 1, you can pick 2, you can pick all 15 numbers if you want for the drawing. So if you do that, you're going to win. And then it's just a question of how much you end up winning. The prize amounts for Cash Pop are generated by the lottery's computer system and printed on the ticket. So when your ticket prints out, whatever numbers you've chosen will have a prize amount assigned to it. And if that pop, that number is the winning number, then that prize that's shown for that number on your ticket is the prize that you win. So 4 times every day, you got a 1 in 15 chance of having that winning number. And it's going
to
be something.
I'm going to have to figure this out so I can understand it better to play it better.
Yeah, it's a simple game in that there are only 15 possible outcomes in every drawing. And it's drawn 4 times a day. There's only one winning number. So it's not like pick 3 or pick 4 where you have to get all the numbers right. Or it's not like Powerball where you have to get a few numbers right. It's one winning number in every drawing. So the simplicity of it, I think, is something that's going to be appealing to people. Because sometimes, you know, you and I have talked about this before. People get a little intimidated if they haven't played lottery games before. They don't quite understand how it all works. They don't know what they're supposed to choose and what combinations of numbers they need in order to win. This is simple. Choose a number from 1 to 15. If you're right, you're the winner. So
I was always afraid of scratching off something that would cost me the prize. Like that, you know, I push it too hard. And now in the scan and in the coding era, but I'm talking about years ago, there was like, do not scratch this part off. And I was like, that was like sort of like eating the devil and the crab. You know what I mean? Just don't do that. Don't touch that. You'll mess up the win. So I'm always a little intimidated that I could sort of screw up the scratch off part of it. But I have people come up all the time now, and I have the app, obviously, so I can scan and say you're a winner. And that's fun for me too, because people want to know if they've won. They don't realize that they can scan, you know, so it's a teaching point for me when I give the tickets out, and it allows me to meet people. There's nothing better than going up to people at a table and saying, hey, I'm Nestor from WNST Baltimore Positive. Maryland Lottery sends me out through this goofy podcast, and I have a Pac-Man ticket. They know what Pac-Man is, but they know about cherries and ghost, and because they probably played it, but they don't know how the game works. And sometimes that can be, I mean, I'm old and staid and fuddy-duddy and in my ways, and sometimes I'm slow to understand simple things. Ask my wife, she'll tell you.
You know, and on the scan too, even if you do, you might be happy to know this, that even if the ticket gets damaged, depending on how badly damaged it is, it can still be redeemed. There are still ways of figuring out what that prize is, even if that QR code on the ticket's been damaged. Just depends on how.
I've been giving these out, and I really don't know how to play it. So now I'm reading the directions. Scratch each game, start to finish. You have 5 games on the Pac-Man card. There's 5 games here, right? And plus second chance. So you're going to start to scratch to finish without running into a ghost. I understand that. You know, the ghost eat, boop, 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 boop. We eat you. So you don't want to do that. So, and if you get to the end, you win. Reveal a cherry in any spot, you win the prize. Bloop, you pick that up, you get 100, you know, you get 100 points in the real world. I don't know what you get on this thing here, but I had a bunch of winners. I took pictures last week with a bunch of folks at a Greenmount station. And if Faith leads, you come, we'll get you into the Pac-Man game as well. I don't know what the next scratch off I'm going to have is going to be, but it's not going to be as good as a Gunnar Henderson Grand Slam. I promise you that.
No, nothing will be. We're hoping he gets one here pretty soon. Another $5,000 to give away.
That'll cost me John Martin next week. Next thing you know, Doug will be on next week. John Martin will return. Seth Elkin is here from the Maryland Lottery. What is your official, your communications something, something, right?
Yep. Managing Director of Communications.
The MD of the CC, I guess.
Too many initials.
All I know what ERA, I know WHIP. You know, I know the important things, you know. I'm still trying to figure out launch angle and spin rate and, you know, trying to do all that stuff. Am I missing anything? It is springtime. You guys are doing a bunch of festivals and stuff. I know you and the team, Roz, everybody. I bumped into you serendipitously many, many times in spring and summer because we tend to run in the same circles, having a good time and enjoying the land of pleasant living in summertime, the reason yins come down from Pittsburgh and want to live here and be a part of this humidity and all that stuff.
We this is starting to get to the very busy season for us, and we are going to be this coming weekend, May 4th and 5th, we're going to be at the Annapolis Irish Festival on the 4th, the Frederick Running Festival on the 5th. We will be at RemFest in the Remington neighborhood in Baltimore on the 11th of May. And we'll, of course, be at the Preakness on the 18th. And we're going to be that same weekend. Preakness weekend is also Wine in the Woods, May 18th and 19th. So we've got a whole bunch of stuff on the calendar. It gets really, really busy for us in May. Later in May, we're at Brew at the Zoo. So it's a lot of great events, a lot of fun events in May for us to do. And we're going to be out and about as the weather warms up and we get into springtime here.
I'm going to be at the zoo in 5 hours. Accelerant is having their big event there. Bill Cole has invited me and Kirby Fowler. And I love the people at the zoo. They were part of Cupper Super Bowl back when we did our charity week back during Super Bowl week. We were at State Fair with them. So I'm loving everything you're giving me. I'm going to give you my tip for the weekend because you said Preakness. And, you know, one of the things I love about being – and I really screwed this whole radio station up. Now that you've watched the documentary, I should have called the station The Nest, right? Because my name, Nest, whatever, right? But I never really liked Nestor. That's why I went with the nasty part to begin with. And the documentary tells you all that. But it took me until maybe about 10 years ago. People have been calling me Ness for 25 years. You know, my wife really kind of only knows me as Ness, kind of sort of in the new century, because Nestor was an E-R-O-R. People would get the email wrong, all of that stuff. So it took me about 10 years ago. I realized that my name is a suffix for almost anything. Awesomeness, you know, stupidness, you know, funniness, you know, all of the Nesses, right? So I didn't even realize I could have had Preakness. Like all of these years, I did all of these events out there and all that stuff. So this weekend, the favorite in the Derby and would be the favorite in the Preakness, clearly if this horse runs like the buyer speed numbers. And I had Dick Girardi on this week talking horse racing. Fierceness is the favorite in the Derby this weekend. Pletcher horse. How about that? So I got to, you know, it's 5-2. You know, but you like the Derby? You're a racing guy?
Not particularly. I'm not really into horse racing, but I mean, we all watch those three races every year. I think everybody watches the Triple Crown. So
yeah, you kids are too busy playing racetracks is what you're doing. You know, I mean, every time I go into Costas, it looks like a horse race is running and it's racetracks because it's so realistic looking, right?
A popular game, very popular game. People love playing racetracks. So, yep.
I saw it up at Greenmount Station, too, at the OTB. Seth Elkin is here. He is the Managing Director of Communication. I hope I got that right. Yep. He cares more about ERAs than titles anyway. And, you know, John Martin, I'm shocked that he didn't come on this week with this surge with the baseball team in Cleveland. You know, he has his little hat and he has his whole thing he's got going on. So baseball's fun this year. Beating the Yankees is fun. And Home Run Riches has been fun as well. I hope we give away 5G several times this weekend in Cincinnati. How about that?
There you go. Absolutely.
Cincinnati. I like them better than Pittsburgh. We beat them in 70. I am Nestor. We are WNST AM 1570 Towson, Baltimore. And if Seth Elkin knew he was coming on the show this morning, I have a feeling he would have had the Stargell jersey on. I was all ready. I had my Warren Moon and Dan Pastorini kryptonite for the Pittsburgh at him. Back for more right after this. Enjoy the Derby this week, folks.